Amen. And I happen to be the only child to my dad, so I'm so privileged to have him come with me when we do ministry and to watch me grow. And I love the fact that he has allowed me to gather so many mothers and so many dads, and it's been a privilege to be given this opportunity. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Harry. And I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I noticed for the times when I come here that there's been a pattern that's been happening. And I wondered last night, do these guys, if you noticed when Apostle Jaka was preaching, I was going crazy. Because what he was speaking was resonating to me, because it's something that we were talking about at home within the week. And when we were driving on our way here, I called someone from our office and I was saying to her, this is what transpired today, because I went to work first. And then she says, ma'am, have you realized that things are happening in our workplace, and God is doing things slowly, slowly. I said, hold up. Slowly, slowly to who? Slowly, slowly at your house. Not slowly, slowly with me. I don't have much time on earth. Where are you getting this slowly, slowly thing from? I don't have time for slowly, slowly. This is an immediate thing. You see, if you listen to his sermon yesterday, he kept on saying instantly. And we were using the word immediately. The lady who touched the issue of the blood, when she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, the Bible says she was immediately healed. So what are we getting this slowly, slowly story? I don't know, Africa and time and slow, I am not there. I am not there. I don't have time for slow speed. I've been growing slowly. This is time for God to bless me immediately. All the problems have been coming fast. Why is it that when it's time for me to be blessed, it's not slowly, slowly? Not seeing God wrong. Amen. So yesterday, even when he said, come and be prayed for, if you noticed, I was the first one, because I'm in a realm of immediate. I was here first, and then I wanted him to pray with me first. That's how I did even last year. And I realized that every time when I come here, I've got a need. But you know what? I understood what north means, which is what I'm going to share with you about what it means for you to be having the authority in the kingdom of God in context to belonging to the north. Amen. So when last year I came, I had a serious need at my workplace. I didn't know what's going to happen with the business. I didn't know how I'm going to pay salaries. When I got here, I remember there was an altar call during the Sunday service. I ran to the front, and I was somewhere in the vicinity of Apostle, and I said, pray for me first before you start spreading your anointing. And then he laughed. And then he prayed for me. I kid you not, immediately that Sunday when I left, I took myself to the mountains of Tanin, somewhere there, just to be alone. And then I decided, on my way back home, let me go past Gold Reef City and see what they're doing there. By the time I got there and I checked in, I immediately got an email from the Department of Education, and they'd given me a huge contract, the mother of all contracts. And this is what I was believing for, you know, when I got here. And it's not the first time it has happened that when I come here, immediately after I leave, something happens. So if you are believing God for an immediate, the slowly, slowly you can keep quiet. I'm talking to the immediate guys. If there is an immediate need that you have, this is a great platform to get it. Amen. I am looking for something immediate, and I believe I've gotten it. I'm just waiting for the right email or the SMS to confirm it. If you are truly believing in God for something, this is the time. So yesterday, when we were introduced to the conference, we were told that this is the North Gate. And I've seen often you talk about this North Gate. And then I say to myself, okay, this is geography. We know that in geography there's a term called True North, right? And it refers to a specific area on this earth, right? So the True North in our context is Jesus, all right? Jesus is our true north. The actual direction is Jesus. That's where we are all headed to. But in context to South Africa, Polokwane is the, Limpopo is the north gate, right? So I was thinking about it last night, and I said, okay, in all your houses, from the gate to the road, there's always a gap, right? You don't just step out of the gate and immediately you are by the road. There is that city council area that you're not supposed to develop, right? So if you are the northern gate, you should understand as gatekeepers that your responsibility is not only lying on the gate where you are. Your responsibility is supposed to retract a little bit backwards. You are supposed to step in a little bit into South Africa. This is a prophetic word for you. I mean a little bit into Zimbabwe, right? So your sphere of influence should not just be by your gate. You know, in my mother's compound when I was growing up, I used to be made to sweep outside. That's the city council area, but I was made to sweep outside. So if you are in the northern gate, you are not utilizing your gatekeeping if you are not stepping a little bit into Zimbabwe. Amen. I'm speaking to you gatekeepers. Step out a little bit. Not too far, but as far as you know, there is, you know that in your yard there's more gatekeeping you're doing this side, but there is a surface area that you should take care of. Why? Because imagine if it's you know the ancient kingdoms, you would tell that this is as far as you can. If you are riding a horse and you've got a message, there's a specific area where you stand first, and then you say your message, then they will allow you to proceed towards the gate. You need to take care of that area. You've been neglecting it. Amen. Also, I also understood about the north is that there are four cardinal points to a compass. I believe, in my opinion, the most important point in the compass is the north, because it's the one which will tell us where the south, where the east, and where the west is. So the north represents new beginnings. The north represents direction. Amen. The north sets the pace. Amen. So even in the Bible, the man who spoke about a lot about the north was Ezekiel. And when Ezekiel was speaking about the north, he was speaking in context to the future church, right? When he was speaking about the future church, that's when he spoke about the north a lot, right? And he was speaking it in context. Most of the people who spoke about the north were talking in context to kingdom, right? In context to kingdom. So we're looking at the north in context to kingdom in South Africa. Amen. And in context to the kingdom of God. If you look at how they placed people at the gate, the people who were in the north gate were Levites. And their responsibility was to take care of the temple, the altar, the elements in the temple. Anything that had to do with worship, it started in the north gate. And even science today, they believe that if you want to have a good, restful sleep, your head must face the south and your feet must face the north. So everything starts on the north. They say that in that way you are aligning with the magnetic field of the earth. That's what the scientists say. So that even the scientists know the importance of the north. Amen. And spiritually, it has been used in the Bible to tell you what position you are holding in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of heaven. Everything, the feet, you cannot move if the feet do not carry you. So you are the feet. However, if you listen to the way Ezekiel used it, he spoke of the north and immediately spoke about the south. The south and the north have to collaborate. They have to talk to each other. So hence, I want to say, if you are in the north and you are not communicating with the south, the job is incomplete. We cannot continue saying, we are the north gate, we are the north gate, we are the gatekeepers. How are you then moving from this north going to the south? Then the message is complete and the compass is complete when the north moves to the south. So this is your time to start moving, saints. The north needs to move and take the message to the south. There now has to be an action. You have to act now. We cannot keep, yes, I'm glad you now know your identity. You are the North. Great. But then what? You have to communicate with the South. There has to be action. Amen. So we, this time next year when we come back, we want to be able to hear that the North has started navigating its way to the South. Messages are being transmitted. You are the trend setters. You are the pace setters. You are the ones who start things. You start trends. Messages come from you first. You birth things. Beginnings start from the North. They move to the South. Then you determine where the East and the West is. Even if you are lost, those who did scouts, you'd know that you'd need first of all to identify the North before you identify the other directions. So North, now that you know you are North, what are you going to do about South? Amen. So we need the younger ones in this place. Start being utilized by the elderly ones. Find your way to the South. Send the message there. Transmit it there. I'm glad that you believe that you are the gatekeepers. But you cannot do it alone. Gather yourselves, Limpopo. Gather yourselves. Bring together other churches. And take the message to the South. It helps not if you just know you are North and then what? So we need an action plan. What's happening? Now we know that we are North. What's next? Amen. I'm so glad that we spoke a lot about authority, and our scripture on authority came from Luke chapter 10, verse 19. And as Pastor Shabangu said rightfully, that it was spoken of in context of Jesus having sent them two by two to go out to preach. And then when they came back, they were very excited. Typical, I would do that. And then he says to them, you know what, I have given you authority to trample over scorpions and snakes. Just before I stood up today, I thought to myself, hey, so there had to be snakes and scorpions first before I can trample on them. I shuddered at that thought. Because I know as Christians, we are so used to say, I break every snake. I will not see any scorpion. And you know, life is great when there's no scorpion or snake. Right? So much inconvenience. And if there's a scorpion and snake, it's the devil's fault. You know? And it's the absence of God. But here we are being told that you trample on snakes and scorpions. So there should be snakes and scorpions for you to trample over. I just wanted to break the bad news before I go to the nice stuff. There are scorpions and snakes, unfortunately, but guess what? You will trample on them. Amen. You will trample on them. This is the great part. All right. So I also saw that everybody who's been speaking so far has been talking about authority, authority, authority. And then I looked at our theme. Our theme is saying authority in the kingdom of Jesus. But I see a lot in the Bible is talking about authority in the kingdom of heaven. Authority in the kingdom of God. So we can safely use the premise that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Jesus are one and the same thing. All right. So yes, we have established what authority is. Let's talk, trace a bit back and talk about what the kingdom is. So, as I was preparing for this, I looked at the kingdom itself and I said, okay, the word kingdom tells me there is a king. Right? And it tells me that he's a king of a domain. Kingdom. Okay, what is a domain? A domain is a place. A surface area. An actual geographic place. So, for you to be a king, either you're a king of your room, it's still a place, or you're king of your village, or you're king of a country, but it's your kingdom. Right? You are a king, you have a domain. But if you are just a king and a place without occupants, So you also become a king based on, you have to have occupants inside that domain. They should be citizens. Right? And your kingdom will measure its value and power based on the infrastructure in your domain. How beautiful. You see the kingdom of Dubai. Everybody wants to go to Dubai. Why? Because of the beautiful structures that are there. Right? If I say choose a ticket 7 days in Zimbabwe of free expenses and 2 days in Dubai, where will you choose? Because of what? The facilities that are available in Dubai. The infrastructure that's there. Right? So a kingdom, we measure your power based on first of all, the size of your domain. Your domain, the size matters. We also measure, because if you are the king of your bedroom and the king of Swaziland, it's totally different. Right? Then we also measure the power of your kingdom based on the infrastructure and the quality of the people in your kingdom. What do they eat on a daily? What do they wear? How educated are they? They are generally livelihood. How happy are they? Then we know that you are a good king based on your citizens. Right? So this kingdom of Jesus, we are establishing that the king is Jesus. Who are his occupants? You and I. Now, here's the difference between our kingdom and everyone else's. We are not just his children. We are also a royal priesthood. We are royalty, but we are also priests. Unlike other kingdoms where we know that in Great Britain, the king is Charles and his children are more important in terms of royalty and then the rest are subjects. In this kingdom, we are all royalty. In this kingdom, we are all priests. Amen. So the quality of our lives tells us the type of king that we have. So Jesus is going to defend his kingship on your life. Your life cannot be a kind of life because he is a king of kings. So there is no way that in his kingdom, the occupants of his kingdom can have a lesser lifestyle than other kings. You see, in comparison to other kingdoms, his should be the greatest. You also measure the size of the power of a kingdom based on its military prowess. You see, the more you know, when all these preachers were preaching, I was saying, God, please, they must not infiltrate into this message because I won't know what to say. Then they started talking about the army. So you cannot be a kingdom if you don't have an army. There has to be an army. Your army must be the most powerful. We measure the power of your kingdom based on the army that you command. Not just its size, but its conquests. Amen. How much have you dominated? How many victories do you have under your belt? Then you say, the most powerful army is the American army. Or the most powerful army is the Swaziland army, or the British army, or the Zimbabwean army, or the South African army. We are basing it on the power of your country based on the army. We also base it on the way you use your military tools, your bazookas that we were told to bring down today. Amen. We know that, I don't have much, at least you read about the army. I don't like fighting. So, but what I know of what I've seen on TV is that America is a powerhouse. They have got a superpower. They have got nukes and amazing military toys that they play with. They borrow it to this one and they borrow it to this one. Then they make these people fight and so on and so forth. But the reason why they are a powerhouse is based on the instruments that they have to fight. And that's what keeps them. You cannot say anything. I can imagine us saying anything silly. They will send something and it will arrive here. Do you see? That's how powerful they are. So the instruments that you have to fight also determine the power of your kingdom. We are told that we do not wrestle against, but against. And what do we use to fight? What are our tools? I'm speaking to pastors here. What are the tools that we use to fight? Sorry? The word. The breastplate, yes, Ephesians 6 basically. Thank you, Ephesians 6. And we use our faith. There's no way you can do this thing without faith. You've got to believe. If you are looking for an actual instrument that you see physically, you are in trouble. Amen. You've got to believe who you are in Christ Jesus for you to be able to dominate as a kingdom. Right? Then there was a time when Jesus was accused of being coming from Beelzebub because he was doing things that they were not used to. And he said, a kingdom that's divided will not stand. Here's the other thing. If we have to have authority in this kingdom, we must be united. We must be united as a body of Christ for us to do well in this kingdom. Hence why I'm saying, as the great north, for you to send the message to the south, you have got to be united as a body of Christ. Go out there, House of Ministries, and teach the rest of Limpopo, the rest of Polokwane, what it means to be a North Gate. Stretch yourselves out of South Africa a little bit into the territory that influences you immediately. Do you know that the wealth of Bytebridge, you've got the hands to it. You've got the influence to change Bytebridge. That they say, you know what? Of all the countries that are bordering Zimbabwe, there's none like Bytebridge. Why? Because you've stretched your authority as a gatekeeper a little bit out. And then it's like how you, when you want to send a message to the south, you've got to stretch the sling, isn't it? For you to stretch the sling, you've got to pull out a little bit out of South Africa. And then with the momentum that you've pulled it back is how it will be thrust to the south. Amen. So I'm speaking to House of Ministries, stretch yourselves out a little bit. But we cannot do that if you are not united as a kingdom, as the body of Christ. I'm urging you to collaborate with other ministries within this space of Polokwane. Do it with urgency. We've been feeding ourselves with a lot of prophecies. This is the time to act. I like how Pastor Shabango said it, to say, go out there, go out. This is the time to act. Amen. Hallelujah. So, there are certain things that if you are in a kingdom, you have access to. I'll give you in context of myself what I've experienced here in South Africa. Because I am not South African, I'm not a natural South African, there are things I cannot do that you can do. I cannot vote, for example. No matter how I want to have someone in power, I do not have the right to vote. Right? There are things that are meant for people who belong to a kingdom. That for visitors, it doesn't work. Even if you get a permanent res, yes, you can buy a house all you want, you can buy all the land, but you can never vote. If you want to go to the bank to borrow, I remember there was a time when I bought a house on bond. The interest rates for you could be 8%, for me will be 22%. Something like that. It's ridiculously different. Do you see? There are certain things that I do not have access to or privy to that you do. Do you see? Because I do not belong to this kingdom. So I want you to belong to this kingdom of heaven and not visit it, so that you could have access to everything that belongs to this kingdom. Amen. And in this kingdom, you are not born into it. You walk into it. I want to read a scripture that talks about how you become a person who belongs to this kingdom. Matthew 7, verse 21. Someone opened Matthew 7, verse 21. Someone opened Matthew 5, verse 20. What was interesting to me about this kingdom of heaven is that Jesus is the one who spoke about it the most in the Bible. He's the one who spoke about it the most. Matthew 5, verse 20, and Matthew 7, 21. There's a mic here. Who shall read? Matthew 5, 20, Matthew 7, 21. Oh, okay. Matthew 5, 20. Yes, yes, sir. You might as well read all of it. You were eloquent yesterday. Thank you, sir.
Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.
So the kingdom of heaven is entered into. But there has to be a righteousness that comes with it. So you enter into it. You don't stumble into it. You are not pushed into it. You have to enter into it. Amen. Matthew 7:21.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter. So it's still an entering situation. But it's, how do you enter? By doing his will. Right. So it's righteousness is doing his will. That's what makes you a kingdom citizen. Amen. You're not going to jump the border from Zimbabwe to here and become, suddenly I want to go and queue and vote. It's not going to happen. You actually have to go through a process of naturalization, and that takes a long time. So you have to enter. It has to be a voluntary act. And you've got to be walk a righteous walk. You walk the walk. Amen. Just not calling the name of the Lord. No, we all can say Lord. But we've got to walk a walk of righteousness. Okay, I think I need to be doing this to my thing. You see, I'm competing with pastors who are going all over Africa. I have to read. Right. Can someone read Matthew 11? Matthew chapter 13, verse... Sir, Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Remember, you cannot have authority on something that you are not, you don't belong to, like I said. So I'm telling you what you need first of all, before you can start authorizing stuff. You can't be authorizing if you do not belong. Amen. Sir, Matthew
13, verse 11.
Yes.
He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them it has not been given.
Amen. These are some of the privileges of belonging to the kingdom. There are things that are not known that you have access to. Right? Now I'm talking about access. You need access. So there are things that are hidden that belong to the children of God, who belong in the kingdom of God, that only when you now know these things, only then can you exercise your authority. Amen. If you come to my workplace and you don't have the fingerprint, you can't get in. But first of all, you need to know that there's such a thing. So access is important, but knowledge is also important so that you can have access. Amen. 5 minutes. Oh my God. I was talking too much. Right. We are in Africa. Is there no exception? All right. Because there is 5 minutes left, I now have to talk about your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. I need to talk about that. Because kingdoms have got rules and procedures. Amen. Kingdoms have got rules and procedures. Jesus, when asked, teach us how to pray, he didn't say, this is how you should strictly pray. During that time, there were too many people saying, we are the Messiah, we are the Messiah. And everybody was teaching their people how to pray. So it so happened that his people also asked him, teach us how to pray. They are the ones who say, teach us how to pray. He didn't say, come, let me teach you how to pray. They asked, teach us how to pray, because some masters were having their people asking them to teach them how to pray. So he started teaching them how to pray. So then he said, you will say, our Father, who art in heaven. Then he said, hallowed be the name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we were talking about the geographic location of the kingdom. Remember when Jesus was being crucified and then they said, save yourself. He said, well, my kingdom is not of this earth. If it was, I was going to... He says that if I wanted, I can send my servants to come and take me out of this space, isn't it? Servants, he was meaning his angels. So in the kingdom of heaven, there are angels. Some of us don't like to talk about angelology, but unfortunately, it's part of the package. You cannot be in this kingdom and not interact with angels. Amen. Because those are your ministering spirits that you're told about in Hebrews. But you've been in this kingdom and you've been doing all you've been doing. I've never heard you telling me that you've seen an angel. It's never spoken to you. You have never even asked them to do anything for you, but you belong in the kingdom. You are misusing or underutilizing your resources. Use them. Amen. So then he also said, there's a part which he says, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm understanding it that this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God, this kingdom of Jesus, its headquarters are heaven. Right? So we are ambassadors here. So the moment we receive Jesus and we enter into this kingdom, we are already in heaven, because the Bible is saying we are seated at the right hand side of the Father together with Christ ruling and reigning far above every principality and ruler of the air. So I'm seated in heaven. So now, when I'm bringing that authority from heaven to earth, I am speaking from heaven. I am not praying here on earth and saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, hear me, Lord, and I'm begging him. I'm praying from a space of, I'm in heaven, and I am broadcasting. I was listening to someone saying that yesterday. Broadcasting what is in heaven, and I'm bringing it to earth. Amen. So the authority is coming from heaven. It's not coming from earth and me summoning. You know the word summon. I'm conjuring spirits and I'm summoning them from heaven. I'm begging with God to say, if you can hear me, please, 2 seconds. No, I'm already in heaven. I am seated with Christ Jesus. And I have been given the authority like what Pastor said. So I am speaking what is in heaven and I'm bringing it to earth. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The only way I can bring things to earth from heaven is if I am in heaven. Amen. I'm not going to pick and come back. I'm actually staying there. That's where I dwell. For now, I'm in the physical, in this body. But there's a day when the Lord will then take me finally out of this place. The day I die. But I'm already in heaven. It's not like that. That's when I'll go to heaven. Like when I die, don't say rest in peace. What? I'm already in peace in heaven already. Amen. And I'm taking my authority from there. And I'm bringing it to earth. So when I'm conducting my business, I'm conducting it in the way it is happening in heaven. What you are seeing on earth is a mirror of what is in heaven. Amen. My business is already in heaven, established. No one can shake it. What is going to happen is that I will start manifesting it on earth as it is in heaven. My marriage is going to happen as it is in heaven. Amen. My ministry, whatever it is that I'm doing, the missionary work that Minero is doing, it's already been done. He's operating it from heaven with his remote. Then the physical one is what you are seeing him doing. But he's already done it in heaven. That's why Jesus used to spend a lot of time. The last 1 minute. Jesus used to spend a lot of time. He used to spend a lot of time alone. This is my theory, people. It's not like it's written somewhere. I believe that he used to spend a lot of time in heaven, reliving what he was going to do during the day. By the time it was daybreak, it was like a revision of what he has already done. That's why he could say, Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, Because he has lived it already. It's not like he's coming across it and going, oops, this is what she's thinking. She's seen you thinking it already. He's seen you thinking it already. He's walked the walk already. And now it is manifesting in the physical. So don't be taken by surprise. Like, I can't remember, was it you who was saying, the devil cannot surprise us. Why? Because you have lived it already. It's in heaven and you're looking down and going, ling, ling. Amen. So take this authority. Hallelujah. Take this authority and make use of it in your businesses, in your workplace, because we are in a kingdom where the king is Jesus. And our kingdom, the quality of life we are living, is supposed to reflect who our king is. Amen. And take authority because it was given to you. I think some of the speakers have spoken already. But north, stretch out. You are aiming for the south. You are aiming for the south. Then the compass can be completely aligned. You cannot have this compass operating if you are not communicating with the south. But you need a little bit of, you guys who did physics, you understand, right? You need a bit of stretch. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, God.
Yesterday, when we went out, what was revealed, and which is something that Dr. Kerry has always been speaking, is the resources that God has put in the province of Limpopo. Okay? What you see with the natural is the devil trying to distract king citizens so that they may think that this province is poor. Yet, God has got deposits of diamonds, deposits of gold, which have not been discovered, which are awaiting the great harvest that God has for the end time. And all of these things, God has put them in the north. But the challenge of the north is, there is no unity in the body of Jesus Christ. Because we don't have that unity, we are letting the kingdom of God down. Because God is waiting on us to properly align with His purposes so that all these things can be discovered. And some people have already seen this. Let me tell you something, a small bit of what is happening in Zimbabwe. And I know this because I've been involved. Before the British came to colonize Zimbabwe, the Germans were working a lot in Zimbabwe. They did a lot of exploration in the nation of Zimbabwe. And when they did that, they put some signs and marks where they had seen mineral deposits. Some of the signs they put is planting some jacaranda trees. Some of the signs they put, they had different signs which they put all over the nation. Now, Zimbabweans have awakened to that. And this is why minerals are being discovered everywhere. People are not discovering, but they have seen that which has happened in the past. And they are just taking advantage of it. And I want to let you know here, by the Spirit of God, the wealth deposits that are in Limpopo province, there are some people who know about them. But they are waiting. Now, God is waiting for the church to arise in the north. To arise in the north and begin to take its position. I just want us to pray for a short while concerning this. Because at the end of the day, we are coming to a time where God is causing it to come to pass. I've seen in the realm of the spirit a stampede to the Limpopo province of South Africa. If you cannot do something now, if someone who is in Limpopo now, you are going to miss out on what God is about to do. I want you to heed the prophetic voice. I have a precedent of this thing. I have always told people. In 1998, I was in Bulawayo, and God told me to go to Mutare. Why? Because God told me there are deposits of diamonds and gold in the city. And I relocated from Bulawayo to Mutare. And when I tried to explain to people what God was telling me, they thought I was lying. I'm lying. It is just something that I'm cooking up. But in 2008, when things were very hard in Zimbabwe, people started picking up diamonds in Marangi, the place where he comes from. People started picking up diamond on the surface. And God made provision for his people. But when some corrupt government officials entered in, all of a sudden, the face of that place started changing. Why? Because God has reserved the resources he put in the earth for his sons to take the kingdom for Christ. And I see this coming to be one. I see this coming to Limpopo province. And this is what the Lord has laid in her prophetic vision to see the significance of the North Gate. And everything around us demonstrates the importance of the North. Can I go political a bit? You allow me to do that? Huh? When Cyril Ramaphosa became the president of South Africa, it was an indication from God that it's time for the North. But he missed it because he came out of the will and the purpose of God. Come on now. We have his history that at some point he was speaking in tongues. And now if you see me, you see a man with kingdom authority. I have no fear of any man. This is why I can talk about these things like I talk. Now he is going to consult with Sangomas and with Muslims and with all, and he is off the purpose of God. And remember, God does not change. What he has thought, it will come to pass. What he has purpose, it will come to pass. Because God is coming for his church, he's coming for his people. I just want us to raise our hands and begin to pray. You know, I'm not just talking church, I'm talking kingdom. Because in the kingdom, God has got a plan for this great nation. He has got a plan for this great province. And he wants everything to align with the North. This is why he has set us in the Northern Gate. Let us begin to pray. Father, I call call forth the princes from the north. I call forth fire, the kings from the north. I call forth the uprising in the name of Jesus Christ. There are some who are in the sound of my voice right now, whom God is going to use as princes, whom God is going to use as lords, whom God is going to use. You know, you are going to teach like Joseph taught the princes of Egypt wisdom. I see someone in this place that God is going to give wisdom to teach some people in authority, some people in government, some people in business, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray, let there be unity in the North Gate. Let there be unity in the body of Jesus. Everything that the enemy has used to divide the people of God, Father, we bind and destroy in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we are praying all the cases of disunity, all the cases of fighting and friction, Father, we are breaking them in the name of Jesus. And we are releasing in the kingdom, oh Father, in the church, in the body of Jesus Christ, in Limpopo province, Father, that coming together, we speak to the dry bones. We speak to the dry bones. We speak to the dry bones. Live again. Live again. Live again. I see a great army from the dry bones in the northern gate. They are rising and they are living again. They are rising and living again. I see God is putting life. God is putting flesh. God is putting food. God is putting life in the solid dry bones. Yes. You are in this place. You used to see in the spirit. And that has been taken out of you, out of the way. You used to move in great authority, and the devil has stolen that from you. I see a restoration. I see a restoration. I see a restoration. I see a restoration. I speak a restoration. You are going to move again in the power of God. You are going to sit here in the spirit. In the name of Jesus.